never thought about that. Hey, good morning. You know, it's. I'm gonna spit that out. My English teacher would not be pleased. I had my gum in my mouth. It's funny how God works. And if you don't think God's in what we're doing here for His kingdom at this church, listen to the titles of these songs we play today. That's coming later. But Chainbreaker, Come Now's the Time to Worship, I Am Free, and the I Can Only Imagine. Now I want to take you to Jen. Call it scatterbrain, I don't call it that. But her message is, things don't always go our way. And I didn't have a title on Friday when Julie texted me. And I can tell you, that's because I had one. But you know what? God was working on me. He said, "Nah, we're not going to do that, Matt." So the title that I came up with is Ups and Downs, the roller coaster. And it's funny because Jen and I didn't talk. I don't know anything about music, so I don't even delve into that realm. I can read the words, but that's it. Okay? But God knew what He wanted to get across. I think there's somebody who needs to hear this today. I think there's a lot of us that need to hear this today, so that's where we're going. Before I get into that, though, I have just a couple things I want to... So, you remember quite a few months back, we had Larry and Susan here, and for whatever reason... He was talking about the cargo, the trucks or whatever they put, and they fill with assisted living, assisted occupational therapy type stuff. And for whatever reason, God moved me that day to bring it before the church, and we donated $10,000 that day. And I got a little note from them. It says, "Dear friends at Open Arms Christian Church, it is exciting to see the container made it safely to Mozambique. Thank you for your generosity in providing for the cost of the container and the shipping. Many people in Mozambique will benefit from your generosity. Thanks again, Larry and Susan." And then this is just their newsletter. I'll give this to Burlton. He'll put it back there probably. But pretty cool what God's doing. Okay? It's pretty cool what God's doing. The other thing I want to talk about just briefly is we have some kids in our church. And some of them probably already went back. So if you're in here and you're junior high, high school, and you are in any club, any extracurricular, any sport, I want you to stand up. Yes, Abby, that's you. Okay? So Abby played junior high basketball. She didn't get a full season. She was in a boot. A little more than half, right? But got healed up. Basketball season's over. I saw Julie posted yesterday. They went to the indoor track meet at Columbus? Geneva. UC Alley Run. Okay, it was the Big Ten indoor meet. And we have a young lady from Mount Gilead that actually is a freshman at Penn State. And she actually is the Big Ten indoor champion in the 800 meter. That's half mile. So that's pretty cool. Abby starts track on Tuesday. Finished basketball, starts track on Tuesday. Alan and Megan in the pep band, you guys are moving to concert only now, right? Pep band's done because you guys don't come play for soft. Huh? Jazz. And the musical, which I will give you guys information on that. That's coming up. When is that, Alan? You know? Late March 25th. So I'll announce that a couple more times. Those are always pretty cool. And then we have Bo, Jackson, and Lexi. I'll pick the boys off first. Bo played JV basketball, well, freshman basketball, and then JV basketball. Bo has the shot of the year this year, the win of the year this year. We had the ball with like 0.9 seconds on the clock on our sidelines, and they set up a play. I saw it on video. I wasn't at the game, but I saw it on video. Set up a play to one of the sophomores on an alley-oop, basically. The boy missed the shot, and Bo comes from, I don't even know where he started that play at, but he comes out of nowhere and gets a tip in as the clock expired. That's pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Jackson played freshman for a while, well, about three games, and then JV, and then eventually, about halfway through the season, Jackson got moved to varsity. He played some JV quarters and then three varsity quarters most of the time. So he was a contributor as a freshman as well. Bo was a contributor as a freshman. Okay, now we're going to get to Miss Basketball. Lexi. Lexi broke, I'll start with this. 4 years ago, I was the assistant basketball coach at Northmore. Lexi was coming out of eighth grade. We went to a team camp in Adrian, Michigan, and I had seen Lexi play. I knew she was pretty good. But at this team camp, as a 14-year-old freshman, Lexi just kind of took over, okay? And what I'll tell you is this. Lexi started for 4 years. Lexi was all-conference for 2 years. Well, 3 years now, I guess, right? All-Ohio, special mention as a sophomore? Junior? Both, okay? Don't know what she is All-Ohio yet this year. She went over the 1,000-point barrier this year. She also is now Northmore's leading scorer career-wise at Northmore. How many points did you end up with? 1,300. The school record was 1,264, and it stood for a long time, like 15 years. Jordan Kimes, 2000. She graduated in 2013, so 9 years, okay? Lexi is now the record holder at Northmore. And the reason I tell you this is not because I want their heads to explode. Why I tell you this is because as young people, whether it's school studies, whether it's athletics, whether it's band, whether it's musical, whether it's science club, I don't care what you name it, they go through the same ups and downs. That we go through as Christians. And these kids, I can tell you that all of them that are standing have, and Delaney, sorry Delaney, I forgot you. I didn't forget you, but Delaney played sixth grade basketball. Saw a couple pictures of her group. But these kids go through these valleys and peaks. But I can tell you that, and I wanted you to understand as a church, we have kids in our congregation that are representing us out there on the athletic fields, in the band rooms, in the Spanish rooms. And we have teachers out there doing the same. So kudos to you guys. I wanted to give you a little recognition. You don't get probably as much as you should. You guys have all worked very hard to get where you're at, and I appreciate that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yep. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we lift up those young people, Lord, and we know the dedication that they have committed to their craft, whether it be the band or the musical or an athletic event or just their studies day by day, Lord. We know that they see those peaks and valleys, and they have those times of worry, and they have those times of stress, but they also have those high points, same that we have as Christians. Lord, as we get into the message today, just take me out of the equation, Lord. Just shut my brain down. I can go 1,000 miles a minute, but just bring out from me what you want to be said here today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So the passage I'm going to use today, and it's called, and the message is called Ups and Downs. It's a wild ride, and that makes me think of roller coasters. You know, what's the worst part of the roller coaster? Who said that? I like me some roller coasters. And you know, I always had fun with my kids because I rode with my dad and my uncle when I was just starting to ride roller coasters. So when my kids started riding roller coasters, I was at the height of my glory. I was like, yeah. So, you know, we're going up the hill, and this is back before everything was air-equipped. You know, now they just shoot you up. You don't have a chain that revolves. But I remember the Gemini used to be the biggest roller coaster, wooden roller coaster in the world. And every time I got on that thing, I was like, I don't think I want to do it. You know, my uncle, of course, was there for moral support. Halfway up the hill, I hope his chain don't snap. You know how fast we go backwards? I'm like, oh, jeez. So, you know, in genetic fashion, I carried that over with my daughters when they started riding roller coasters. But they're freaks. They love it. So it is what it is. I didn't scare them out of it. But that's the ride we're on as Christians, too, because when we get into that uphill climb, what starts going through our mind? All this junk. All this junk. Now, I'm not going to say that chain has never snapped, but that thing's been tested so many times. Tried and true, and it's so mechanical, and they wouldn't have it open if it wasn't safe. Guys, our Christianity is the same way. You don't think God's going to pull you up that hill so you can get to that, see that, just what you can do as a Christian. He will do it. We're going to be in Acts. I do have, since we're talking about roller coasters, I do have one other thing I want to share. And some of you won't think it's funny. I thought it was pretty cute. But this is the roller, and even our marriages are roller coasters. Chris will tell you that. I mean, there's days when, you know, she likes me a lot. There's days when she doesn't like me so much because I'm hard to live with. Okay? So here's one of those days I'm hard to live with because she's not going to like this post. A man and his ever-nagging wife went on vacation in Jerusalem. While they were there, the wife passed away. The undertaker told the husband, "You can have her buried here in the Holy Land for $150, or we can have her shipped back home for $5,000. The husband thought about it and told the undertaker he would have her shipped back home. The undertaker asked him, "Why would you spend $5,000 to have her shipped home when you can have a beautiful burial here and it would only cost $150? The husband thought about it, then he replied, "Long ago, a man died here, was buried here, and 3 days later, rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance." So the roller coaster ride continues. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8 today. And you know, for me, this week was a roller coaster. I mean, I took Monday off. Two reasons. Number one, we had some steers processed, and we knew the meat was getting real close. And I have a freezer at home that was so full of frost, and I wasn't sure how that was going to work. So Monday was supposed to be a pretty nice day, so I called my boss and said, "Hey, I need a personal day tomorrow." So Chris and I hung out Monday. The second reason is, Sunday night I couldn't sleep because I was so excited. You know why? Softball practice started Monday, and I was excited. Okay, I'm still excited. But today we're going to learn about a dude, and some of you know him pretty well. Some of you may or may not know this part of him. Chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 1, and Alan has verse 4 through whatever up, but I'm going to start in verse 1 because I want you to hear this. On that day, a great persecution broke against our church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. So our impression of Saul is, man, this dude's not very nice. right? He is not very nice. Let's keep reading. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down into a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he had performed, they all paid close attention to what he had said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Guys, here's what I want you to tell you. It wasn't super safe back then to be a Christian. So they were kind of in that little valley, right? Here goes Philip out preaching about the Messiah. Telling everything that went on. The whole story. He was healing people in Christ's name. I don't know about you, but I've never seen demons come out of some people. Never seen it. Well, I thought I did. A couple times I spanked my kids. They're still there, though. Okay? But these people were at a low, and Philip's telling them how great this Messiah is and how it's great, and he's healing people. I have seen some people healed that couldn't walk, had ailments, and prayer and praying on people and laying hands on people. I believe in all that stuff. Because, not because of me, because of the power of our God. So there was great joy in that city. Now, in the first four verses, we read that some dude was going around breaking up churches, burning houses, and killing people. But there was great joy in that city. Are we joyful in our bad times? It's easier to grumble. It's easier to grumble than it is to be joyful, right? I like to complain about bad times. Let's we're gonna skip now. I want, this is a homework. I want you to read 9 through 25 on your own. Okay, I want to move on. I got a lot of traction to make and not very much time to do it. But we're gonna talk about Philip here. He's still out preaching. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. So this guy had some power, right? He was in charge of all the money. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. You know, it wasn't like this guy was pulled over and had his air conditioner on. He was in his chariot. How would you sit in a chariot? I don't know. Was he sitting on the rail, have his foot propped up? I mean, that's the stuff that goes through my mind. I want descriptive. I want to know exactly what this dude was. He was probably sitting on the floor of the chariot. I don't know. What were the horses doing while this guy was reading the book of Isaiah? But the fact that he was reading the book of Isaiah is pretty amazing. Okay? The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. Verse 31. "How can I?" he said. "Unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of the scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So, you know, it's funny to me. You know, they're on a desert road. Philip strolls up to the guy, parked his chariot. He's reading. And the Spirit tells Philip, go closer. Go closer. Now, you know, if I'm sitting in a parking lot reading my devotion or whatever I'm doing, people come closer because they think I'm weird. You know, I may have the radio on just singing away. They think, what is this guy, like, in a seizure? You know, what's going on with this dude? But here's this guy reading the Bible, and Philip walks up, and he gets close enough that he can hear him reading it out loud. And the first question Philip asks him is, do you understand what you're reading? Now, if somebody comes up to you and questions whether you understand what you're saying or what you're reading or what you're doing, what's the first thing we do? We get defensive. I'm not inviting this dude into my car. I'm not inviting him into my car to read it with me. This guy's like, yeah, come on up here on the chariot, man. I need somebody to understand this with me. That's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to be like sponges. Because there are things we don't understand. But what do, sometimes we want to figure it out on our own. And we might turn away Philip. Philip, no, dude, get away. I don't want to hear from you. I want to figure this out. Okay, not this guy, man. He's like, hey, bud, come on up here. I need you to tell me what's going on. So, verse 34, the Enoch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That is how simple it is to spread God's word. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the Enoch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and Enoch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the Enoch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Wow! Huh. Would that make you question your Christianity? You know, here's a guy that probably didn't know much about the Word, was studying the Word, wanted to learn more, and he heard the story from Philip. He says, you know what? There's a pond right over there. Let's go get baptized. Let's go get baptized. Who would stop me from getting baptized? And as soon as you come out of the water, the guy that baptized you is gone. That's one of two ways you're looking at that. One of two ways you're looking at it. You're rejoicing because you know that guy was God sent. Or you're like, oh, this Christianity thing is weird, man. That guy just disappeared. Let's read on. Verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the small towns until he reached Caesarea. Guys, what happened there on that road is more powerful than we'll ever be able to explain to anybody today. You know how we can explain it today? My Jesus came down, lived, died for me on a cross, lived sinlessly. That'll blow people's minds. Lived sinlessly, died for my sin on a cross, and then rose again to beat death so I know I have eternal life. You try to explain it to Philip and Enoch, the people, they're not going to get it. You explain it, my Jesus came and died on the cross for me. For me. And I'm terrible at that. You know, God's putting more and more people in my life that need to hear it. And that scares me. I don't want to fail. This is a task I don't want to fail at. You know, I failed a lot of things. This is not one of them I want to fail at. We're going to go on Acts 11. We're going to be in 19 through 30. And this is kind of, I'm going to take you full circle on a guy. So we knew Saul. He was killing people and burning houses and separating church, right? Verse 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed and traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling the good news about the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to stop right there. So everybody that's seen everything that happened, and some of them were like us as Christians. They were only going and talking to the other Christians. Right? I'm not going to go talk to other Christians, Matt, because I don't like talking to other people that aren't Christians. I don't like to have to explain myself. Then these other guys said, no, we're going deeper. We're going to go speak to the Greeks so that they hear the good news about Jesus. Guys, our job as Christians is not to tell other Christians about Jesus. Other Christians already know about Jesus. They wouldn't be Christians. Our job is to show other Christians God's love every day. But our job is to go tell everybody else about Jesus. If Christianity was just talking to other Christians and telling other Christians about Jesus, you think it'd be hard? Everybody's already heard it. We need to take what we know from in here and take it out there. You know, I think that's probably why that Mozambique thing hit me so hard, because I don't have the courage to do that. I don't have the calling to do that. Because if it was just a matter of me not having the courage, but I knew that was where I was called, I guarantee God would find a way to give me the courage. Because He'd keep throwing me out there and I'd keep failing. But He'd keep throwing me out there. He'd keep opening doors. Okay? So, the fact that people are going over there and they're over there in those countries spreading God's word, people where two people that haven't ever heard it and don't necessarily want to hear it. That's pretty powerful to me. Verse 21. Here's what happens when we follow what God wants us to do. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Has anybody ever seen a mass conversion. You know, I long while ago, I went to Columbus Clipper Stadium to see Billy Graham. And, I forget how many it was that day. 20,000 people converted? 20,000 people. That's powerful. That's something that will never leave my image or my brain, because that's something that just burned in. That's how powerful it can be when we're out to share God's word with people who don't know it. That's like our kids, right? You know, when our kids are born, they don't know God's word. What do we have to do? We have to teach them. We have to instruct them. And that's why it's so cool when we get to use that baptism and we see kids getting baptized. Because our kids are going to reach more people than I am. Our kids are going to be examples to more people than you or I. But we need to continue to go out there and preach and teach and instruct God's plan to everybody. Not just people in here. Then, verse 25, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So we've obviously skipped a few steps in Saul's life. But I wanted to take you full circle, because if we surround ourselves with the right people, look at the transformation this dude had in four chapters of the Bible. He went from burning Christian homes and killing Christians to now he's teaching and meeting with Christians. And that's for a whole other day, that transformation. I didn't have enough time. That's a pretty cool story. But guys, that's what the power of our God is. He can take dumb old man and he can change. And he can make me into what he wants me to be. Not he can. He does. He does. You know, and I'm honestly blessed. I mean, my wife's never fought with me about coming to church. My kids have never fought with me about coming to church. It's pretty cool when you see that. But here's what else I'll tell you. I get to interact with people out in the world that have no idea who Jesus is. And then I get to interact with kids at Northmore High School that know who Jesus is and they're not afraid to talk about it. And that's pretty cool. And which do I take more seriously? I don't know. Because I want to see those kids be successful so bad. Because they're reaching out on their faith. They're stepping out on their faith. And I don't want them to go get to that valley. I want them to stay at that peak. Okay? And that's why, you know, I've talked about some kids. And I think it's important that our kids of our church understand that we're in their corner. We are in their corner. We have the same belief they do, that they're out there living that example every single day. And probably a lot more hostile environment than what you and I go to work in. Schools are brutal, man. So kids, I want you to understand, you got a lot of people here praying for you every day. You got a lot of people in your corner. You got a lot of people. If you got a group of kids you want us to come speak to, there's a lot of us that, okay, we'll do that. Don't give up the fight. It's worth it. That thrill of that roller coaster ride at the end, when you get done and they say, "Welcome back, Cedar Point Riders. How was your ride?" And everybody just goes nuts. Guys, that's what we're going to experience sometime soon. Sometime soon. I don't know when. But God's going to be. Hey, welcome back, Christians. How was your ride? Yes! Yes! And he already knows how our ride is. Because he's with us every single day. But I want you to understand that God can use anybody. He used Saul. Saul was not a good dude. But he used him. When your Christian ride goes into a valley, where do you go? Where do you go? When our Christian rides at our peaks, life is easy, right? Sometimes. Sometimes it's harder to be at a peak for me than it is in the valley. Because I know where I'm going in the valley. But sometimes when I'm at my peak, man, I like to bask in that peak a little bit. And I'm not the one that got us there. It's my God. Okay? He will use you. He will take you on a ride. You will not regret it. Because at the end of times, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I thank you. I thank you that you can take me and hopefully get a message out there that you need to hear. And Lord, I know that everything just flowed together today with Jenny's devotion and the message. I thank you for that because I need that reassurance every once in a while to know that what we're doing here at church is what you want to be done, Lord. We love you for that and we praise you and we thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So the praise band's going to come up. We're going to have a song of invitation. Guys, if you look at me and if you don't know what that roller coaster is of Christianity and you want to know, today's your day. If you have prayer needs, today's your day. If you have praises,